What is the unitive way? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe's Society Podcast. St. Joe's Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosesociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is episode 23 of the Intro to Spiritual Theology, and we are entering our sixth and final month of this intro. I've been introducing you guys to the spiritual life, the last 5 months. We looked at some basic principles in the beginning. Then we looked at the three ways of the interior life, the first being the purgative way, the second, the unitive way, the illuminative way. And then this month, we're turning our attention to the final way of the interior life, the unitive way. When one enters the unitive way, okay, what's going on here? A man who enters the unitive way is readied for intimate union with God. The way to remember this is the illuminative way, that second way, is we're being enlightened to become more Christ-like. In the unitive way, we are uniting our will with God's will. We're uniting our mind with God's mind. We're thinking his thoughts, doing his deeds, those sorts of things. So St. Paul says in Galatians 2, chapter 20, I have been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When you enter this way, guys, your will is unified with Christ's will, okay? In the purgative and illuminative way, we tend to conform our wills, right? We're kind of bending our wills to God's, of course, with his help. But in the unitive way, they are unified. We are becoming Christ-like, which is very exciting. Guys, this is the normal way of sanctification. God wants to make all of us, he wants to take us, all of us, through these three ways into your life, and unite us perfectly with himself. This is the ordinary way. I mind you, I said ordinary, not common. The ordinary way for a person to become a saint. And every single person, myself and every person listening to this, is capable of this because God can do all things. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. So what I want to cover this week is just a basic introduction to the unitive way. And then I'll survey what we'll talk about in the next 4 weeks. So I'm going to have five episodes in this month, just like I have the last two, the first episode just to give an introduction and then get in the meat of it. So we'll give two episodes this week and then each Monday thereafter for the rest of the month. So, all right, let's just jump on. What is the pathway of the perfect? The nature and end of the unitive way. Adolf Tankery says, the goal of the unitive way is none other than the habitual, intimate union with God through Jesus Christ. Notice here, it's habitual, which means we're constantly united to him, and it's intimate, okay? This isn't distant. He's not a master and a slave. This is a loving union. Tankery goes on and says this, to live altogether unto God, the living God, the most blessed Trinity dwelling in us, to praise God, to serve him, to revere him, and to love him. This is the aim of the perfect Christian. Guys, this is what we're made for. This is what God's calling us to. This is what many of you who are listening to my voice right now, you're on the pathway towards. This is it, okay? So really exciting. All right, what I want to look at now are four characteristics of the unitive way so that if you were to enter this unitive way, you'd be able to identify it. And then I want to give a couple conditions for a man to enter it, and that'll be our application. Now, I should make note here, whenever I teach the unitive way, this one's difficult because I highly doubt I'm on the unitive way, okay? I'm not quite this holy yet. With God's grace, hopefully I will be. If I'm not there already, it's due solely to me and not to him because I'm getting in his way sometimes. So sometimes it's hard to teach this one because it's difficult to describe something you haven't done yet. But the spiritual authors we've been studying and I've included in these notes are really helpful in helping us start to wrap our mind around it. And then the vision they give the unitive way is extremely inspiring so that we can all try to attain it. So that qualification set aside, let's look at the four characteristics that Tankery gives us in the spiritual life. And these are in paragraphs 1292 through paragraph 1295. First, the soul lives continually in the presence of God. When we are in the unitive way, we are constantly in God's presence. We delight contemplating him, living in our heart to talk inwardly to God. to liken the unit of way to marriage, this is kind of like when your spouse, your wife is constantly on your mind. She's constantly in your heart all the time. People with mature marriages are like that. Okay. So it's similar to that, where God's presence is constantly with us. We're constantly thinking about him. He's with us everywhere we go. Now, of course, God always is by his power, but this is through friendship, because we're responding to him, that we know him in a relational way like this. Okay, the second characteristic, the love of God becomes not only the principal virtue of the soul, but one may say its only virtue, in the sense that all the other virtues which it practices are for it, but so many acts of love. Love, at this way, guys, starts to dominate everything we do. And even the other virtues serve love. Love is transcending everything. So when you read the Gospel of John or St. John's first epistle, you see the role that love plays in the Christian life. St. Paul talks about there's faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity or love. When you enter the unit of way, love becomes the principle and in a sense, kind of the only virtue that drives everything you do. Okay, we are climbing the heights of sanctity at this point. Third, prayer becomes increasingly simple. Now, we talked about this last month, but what you think, a lot of times people think complexity is a sign of maturity. And in some fields it is, right? When you study physics or philosophy or something, some very difficult subject. As you climb higher in the information, it gets more complex to understand. It's simple at the bottom, more complex at the top. Prayer is not like that. Prayer is more simple as you grow. Why? Because reasoning starts to disappear to make room for pious sentiments. And we say pious sentiments here. These are not the immature, touchy-feely stuff that we get in the beginning of the purgative way. Remember, God gives us those consolations of being to keep us moving. But those consolations, think of them kind of like puppy love when you're dating your soon-to-be wife. The puppy love is nice, keeps your relationship going, keeps you asking her out, but that's not the real good stuff, okay? Prayer here, it's not pious. These pious sentiments aren't that like puppy love, warm and fuzzy type stuff. What happens here is it moves not from our feelings, from our intellect and reasoning, but it's settling into a very simple, loving, lingering thought of God. And again, I think the best way to help you guys understand this is through marriage, okay? You talk to any married man who's been with his wife for a long time, the love becomes very simple, okay? Where in the beginning, it was very feeling-oriented. In the middle, you're always trying to express it, right? Express in lots of words your feelings for your wife. There's a stage in marriage where you have to kind of will yourself to love her no matter what. That's kind of like the illuminative way of marriage. But then when the love really matures, it's a simple, loving, lingering thought of the wife. That's what prayer becomes here. Prayer has become very simple because everything revolves around God. He is your all in all. Okay. And with that simple prayer life comes a simplification of your whole life. Life itself becomes perpetual prayer. Whether we're working, recreating, whether we're alone or in company of others, we are continually rising towards God and conforming our will to his. Everything is ordered towards God. Now, guys, that's true of reality itself. But when we are immature, when we are sinning, we don't recognize what we're made for. We're not ordered towards what we're supposed to be ordered towards. What happens in the unit of way is you start to see that everything is ordered to God, everything in the creation and everything in your life. So life becomes very simple too, because everything's ordered towards him. Okay. So what are these four characteristics to repeat? The soul is always in the presence of God. Love of God becomes the principal virtue. Prayer becomes simple and our whole life becomes simple. So noticing everything's simplifying, and what's at the center of everything in the unit of way? God Almighty is. And he's the one that should be at the center of all things. Okay. To achieve this, okay, what conditions do we need to start practicing to bring this about? Okay. Now, obviously, we're going to need God to do the work, but how do we get ourselves out of the way? How do we cooperate with the grace he gives us? First, we need a great purity of heart. Okay. Which is not merely the expiation and reparation of past faults. Not less than that, but just repairing past faults is not what we need. We need to detach ourselves from whatever leads to sin. Anything. Okay. So whatever's going to lead to sin, we've got to detach from that. That might be people. That might be places. It's all got to go. Second, we need to have horror at deliberate venial sins. When you enter the purgative way, a lot of us are horrified by mortal sin. My guess is if you're listening to this podcast, you're horrified by mortal sins. But if we're all honest, sometimes we're okay with venial sins. If you want to enter the unit way, if you want to unite yourself with God this way, you have to have horror at deliberate venial sins. Like start to just hate them, terrified of them. Okay. And the final thing we need is we need to remove any willful resistance to grace. It's got to go. Okay. So great purity of heart. Detach yourself from sin, mortal and venial, and then have a great purity of heart to open ourselves to God. So that's one condition. Second condition, we need a great mastery over ourselves. This is acquired through the mortification of the passions. So we have to mortify the irascible and concupiscible appetite that we introduced a few months ago when we talked about the nature and end of man. We've got to mortify that. That's going to come through asceticism. It's going to come through things like fasting, abstinence. One of the things I advocate for here is exercise. Guys, a healthy diet. You get online, people talk about eating a healthy diet, so you have six-pack abs or whatever. We should be eating a healthy diet because it detaches us from things of this world, right? We're most of the things we eat should be for nutrition, which obviously is morally fine, because we don't want to be driven by our stomachs. Now, do we need to eat? Of course we do, to be healthy and happy and all those sort of things. But, you know, are we disciplined in our eating? Are we disciplined in how often we're eating ice cream or drinking alcohol? We need a great mastery of ourselves. Okay. Second, we need to practice the moral and theological virtues we talked about last month. Exercise them. Ask God for grace to exercise them. Ask God to seek out our hearts and minds for the ways in which we fail so we can overcome them. Third, we need a constant need of thinking about God, of conversing with God and performing every action to please him. Guys, we have a rule for a reason, okay? The rule's to help you do this. You guys don't avoid prayer. We have to be strict with our prayer life. We have to be devoted to it because as we are thinking about God all the time, when we're praying our morning prayers, midday and evening, the moments in between when we're doing our spiritual reading and meditating, God's going to be on the mind. We need to be talking to him throughout the day. Okay. And then we need to try to perform every action. That morning offering is going to set the tone, and that evening act of contrition prepares us for sleep. Okay. So we got to make sure we're doing those things and follow the rule. That's why it's there, to help you guys do this. Okay. Those are the three conditions: a great purity of heart, a great mastery of herself, and a constant need of thinking of God to enter and stay on the unitive way. Okay, so we want to practice those. What we're going to talk about this month, we're going to talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Buckle up. That's going to be an awesome unit. Okay, so the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll cover some of the gifts in the episode 24, and then we'll cover the last set in episode 25. So I broke those up. Then we're going to talk about prayer of the perfect in episode 26. And then that will wrap up our time that we're going to be spending together on this topic, okay? So we're going to talk about the seven gifts, talk about the perfection of the intellect and will, the appetites, and then talk about prayer. So that's how we'll end things up. All right, that's enough for this week. I hope you guys have a blessed week, and I will talk to you next time. God bless.